Welcome aboyim to the sixth of the continuing shiurim on the Yud Gimel Midas Shatir the Dreshiv Abraham. That is the 30 hermeneutical forms of exegesis by which the Torah, the written Torah, is interpreted by the sages, by the Chazal. I want to go back to a point that we brought up in last week's lecture, and I want to expound upon it. The Ran in the Dorim, as we all recall, in Dav Gimel Bar Aleph, introduced, well, at least in this series of Shiurim, introduced the notion that even something which can be derived from even a Kal V'Chomer, which many people would say is the most logical of the Yud Gimel Midas, nonetheless, the Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf Daleh and Aleph, the Torah, the cost of Lakra. The Torah is going to even bother to write. I say bother because that's the real translation. But the Torah will even bother in writing something which can be derived through one of the Yud Gimel Midas. And the question is really, how are we supposed to understand that? The Gemara says, if it's a svara, lamelam kor. What do we need a pasuk? So, I mean, it can't be that the Torah writes things for no reason. So, and the Ran, I mean, the Chiddush of the Ran, the novel of the Ran last week, was not only do we say that with respect to Kal V'Chomer, but the Chiddush of the Ran was that we said that with respect to all the Yud Gimel Midas. The Ran not only invoked the concept of Hekesh, but the Ran, in fact, actually spoke about it relating to a Gezeirah Shavah. And the Makor, the source of the Ran, the case of a Hekesh, is the Gemara itself in Gimel Mar Aleph in the Dorim. The Makor of the Ran, as we saw last week, was a Gemara in Samach Aleph in Bavra Metzia, and there the Ran tells us that there the Gemara understood that even something which is a derives from Gezeirah Shavah, Torah for Kos of Kor, the Torah will in fact actually write it. Now, I think we mentioned last week that that's not exactly what the Gemara seems to be saying. In fact, the Gemara seems to be saying exactly the opposite. The Gemara says, if I have a Gezeirah, what do I need the Pasuk? And I think we answered by referring to the Tosfos. And Rav Kiva Eger on the Gidush HaShem, the Tosfos refers to the Ran in the Dorim. That the Torah says, well, you know, so why do I need the pasuk? So the Tosfos answers and says that the Tosfos says is that there's no chiddush in the pasuk, there's nothing extra in the pasuk, meaning that, in other words, that if in fact actually I were able to, if there's no chiddush in the pasuk, then that's fine. There's no chiddush in the pasuk, then then I could say that there's something that was derived from Gezeirah Shavah, but the fact is, I want to explore a little bit this concept. I mean, why would the Torah come to write something, Torah Kos of the Kor, something that can derive from a Kal V'Chomer? Now, it appears that the principle is actually, by the Ran extended, to a Gemara in Zvachim. And this is what I want to speak about tonight. Tonight, the days are getting shorter, so it's not clear what it's like. The Ksus Yom Rabbeinu Tam, which is Chayavim Balayla. But in any case, there's a Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis and Zayin Amud Aleph, and the Gemara there is trying to learn that the Kabbonis, a Korban of Bechor, Maaseh, and Pesach. Require matan domim v'moyin l'gabi yisbeach k'negad yisayit. In other words, we have to sprinkle the blood k'negad yisayit. So, the Gemara says, minalan, how do we know this? So, omer Rabbi Elazar, says Rabbi Elazar, right? Asya zrika zrika mi'oyla. We learn the gzera shava from the case of oyla. In other words, the case of zrika, right, appears, right, in Oila, and also the Torah speaks about Zrika in the case of Mais and Pesach. So it says, so we learn a Gezeirah Shavah. In other words, from Oila, we learn a Gezeirah Shavah, right? And Oila, Gufa Minala, Now with all Ayla, how do we know, in the case of the carbon Ayla, how do we know that we sprinkle the blood connected to the Yisoid? So there it says explicitly, El Yisoid Mizbach HaOyla. Lamed al Oylas Choyva Shetun HaYisoid. So the Gemara learns Exera Shava. It says Rika with respect to carbon paste. It says Rika with respect to other carbonized. Just like by the case of a carbon Ayla, the Zrika is connected to the Yisoid. The Pasuk, the scripture says it explicitly. So too, in the case of Pesach, Maisa, Bechor, the Zrika, the sprinkling of blood is connected to the Yisoid, the bottom part of the Mizbeach. So, the Gemara now raises a question. Ima lahalon shtei matonashen arba, avkan shtei matonashen arba. So, the Gemara's question is, right, that in the matonas of the dam, the case of the oiler are called shtam shem arba, which means you sprinkle it in two places at the corners and it goes to the four, north, west, south, and east. So just like in the case of oiler, matanas are shtam shem arba, two matanas, two sprinklings, and the sprinklings cover the four sides. Afkan shtam matanas b'shem arba. We should also have two in the case of Pesach and Maaser, which is not true. We don't see anywhere that the Korban Pesach and Maaser B'chor require Matan Shem Shem Abba. So, the Gemara says, Abai Oma Lamil Lamechtav Sovet Ba'oila, Sovet B'chatas. So, Abai says, it says Sovet in the case of an Oila, and Sovet in the case of B'chatas. Right? Havishnei Ksuvim Haboin Ke'achad. Both B'chatas and Oila are Shtam Shem Abba. But it says Soviv, meaning Shtam Shem Abba, in the case of a Chatas, in the case of an Oila. But, you know, it says in the case of an Oila, in the case of a Chatas, which is called Shtei Ksuvim Ba'am Ke'echad. In other words, both Psukim are telling me the same thing. V'chol Shtei Ksuvim Ba'am Ke'echad Em Melamdim. So if you have two Psukim telling you the same din, we don't infer it to other things, which means that since we have the din of Soviv with respect to Oila and respect to Chatas, because it says Soviv in both of them, Shtam Shem Alva, so we cannot infer from that to the case of Maisa, Pesach, etc., etc. So the Gemara says, Halicha l'mandabar ein melamdin. Okay, this is actually machloek is the din of the midas. If you have two psukim that say the same din, can you infer it to other cases? Or you say no. So according to the opinion, it says ein melamdin, you can't infer to other cases. And there's a logic behind it. Why did the Torah write something twice? Write it once and infer. Write it twice, it means only these two cases. But there's an opinion that says you can infer to other cases. So the Gemara says, Be'ashem, it also says the same thing, right? Ashem is Shloisha, you have three psukim. Ashem, Chatas, and Oila. And therefore, certainly, everybody agrees, in Melamda. Okay, now.
What's the difference qualitatively between two psukim and three psukim? Such that the view that holds.
We'll have to speak about that. The question is, when do you say enough is enough? After two or after three. Maybe Chazaka, I don't know. We'll have spawas in that. Anyway, it's a machloikas. Now, it's interesting that Rashi raises a question here in the Gemara. Rashi says, in Dibu HaMaschil, on some of Nunzayim and Aleph, Dibu HaMaschil, Ein Melamdin, so Rashi says, Va'afel gab dahacha lab binyan al anuboim lulmoit. What are you talking about? We're not trying to learn the din of Mais and Bechor and Pesach from a Binyanav. What was Alimut? Alimut was Exer Shabbat. Zrika, Zrika. Binyanav fell out of the sky. Rashi's bothered by that question. Very rarely that Rashi has a Kasha in the Gemara. I guess in New Gibbon Middles, you have to have a Kasha. Rashi says, "V'aval gab da'achal labed binyan avad on lumboid." Even though the sugya begins with Rabbi Elazar, who's not learning to the case of Bechor, Maisa, and Pesach through a binyan av, he's learning to exegah shava. So therefore, why should the existence of other two psukim, why should that interfere with the exegah shava? Right? Why should it shtel? Why should the binyan av shtel interfere with the gzera shava that the Gemara set up between Oilam, between Pesach, Maaser, and Bechor? Yeah.
I mean, Rashi is saying the question is a good question. Why is the shen abba? But the answer is only binyan av answer.
Right. No, we give a binyan av, but we have a gzera shava. We have a gzera shava. Gzera zol ametsa. So Rashi says, Ashmuin and Abaya. Right, Abaya is the one who who brings the binyan av objection. So Abai is telling me a chiddush. Ashmira Abaya. The shnei k'suvim Abayim ke'echad. Ein belamdin. If you have two pesukim, Abayim can have two pesukim telling me the same din. It's one of the yud gimel midas, right? Ein belamdin. We do not infer, we do not learn on the basis of two pesukim would say the same din. Afilo gzera shava oisidova shnechta b'shneim. Even if we have a gzera shava. Even though we have a gzera shava in Oila, right? Zrika zrika. Nonetheless, we don't learn from a binyana. That's what Rashi says. So it's an incredible thing here. The incredible thing is that I can learn a gzera shava independent of the binyana. And Rashi says that somehow the din ein melamdin, the binyan av, overdoes or knocks out any gezeirah shavah which I have. Now, this question is actually the Gemara, the same Gemara appears in Samach Dalet Amud Beis. I'm going a little bit fast now, but I trust that many people are learning Daf Yomi. So, in Psachim. On Daf Samach Dalet Amud Beis. I'm going to face, but I assume that with the Daf Yemi, everybody knows Shas. So, Baruch Hashem. I mean,
with Daf Yemi, everybody has Artscroll.
Yeah, but for 40,000 people dancing in Madison Square Garden, what were they dancing with? Somebody knew Shas, right? Well, why would you be dancing? Because you're red. Now, so it says like this. The Gemara in Psochem brings the Gzere Shava of Zrika Zrika from Oila. Okay? But doesn't bring the objection of Abaya regarding the Binyana. That's missing from the Gemara. So naturally, Tosfos fills it in. So I'm reading from the Tosfos, Samach Dalam and Beis, 1064 Side B in your art scrolls. Asya Zrika Zrika Meyoyla. So, and once again, the Gemara brings the Gzera Shava without a Abaya statement doesn't appear. So Tosfos makes note there of the fact. In Dibra Maschel Asya Zika Zika Mi'oila, Tosis makes note of the fact that in Ezu Mekoyman, Abaya raised an objection. Says Tosis, Beperek Ezu Mekoyman, Polech V'nelef Mi'oila. The Gemara asks a question, let's learn from Oila. Ma Oila Shtam Shem Abba Av Pesach. U Mishani, Tosis coined the Gemara. The Gemara answers by saying, Omar Abaya, Lami Lemechta Tzavi Ba Oila Tzavi Bechatas, Havu Shtek Suma Baim Ke'echad, Ve'em Melamdim. Okay. The kasha, the re has a question. The nagli alfinim yishtek suva bar ge'echad ba mamatzina, but the loy kosev chad minei abachor maizu pesach. The gezeir shava neilach shava meyayla. Then gezeir shava lemetza. Let's learn from the gezeir shava. In other words, the re asked the same question from his zaydit, from his grandfather Rashi, and the Rashi was a grandfather the re, right? So the re is okay, right? He has a kasha. He doesn't refer to Rashi. Okay. Now, V'oimari, says the Ri, Da'akochacha, Ashim v'chatas, D'chsibu u'saviv, Da'amirin hasam, Da'amishneksum u'shloysha k'suvim, Ya'afina m'gzeir ha'shava mi'oila, O'yoila ya'afa mi'neil. Says the Ri, an incredible thing. In other words, in Oila, it says, oh, you said I'm Mizbeah, Mizbacha Oila. Now, in Chattas and Asham, it says Sovit like it says in Oila, which means there's a Gzeira Shava that's linking Oila, Chattas, and Asham. Oila, Chattas, and Asham are linked by this Gzeira Shava of Sovit. So it says the Ri, right? That, right? V'hasht as a Shapet. Also, Dumya the Kosabu Soviv, Kamamai, the Eastbuk Zera Shavak Tepirashti. In other words, the Adamazi Avalishnek Suvan Bonke Echad, the Lamute, the Lonela Big Zera Shava. Also, the Dumya the Kosabu Soviv, Kamamai, Eastbuk Zera Shava Kibrashti. What the text is saying is the following thing that this is not just Shnei Ksuvam Ke'echa. These are Shnei Ksuvam, which have a Gzeira Shava between them. Kesuvim, Shnei Kesuvim, that there's a Shalom between them. Right? You can't learn from that. In other words, the Gezeira Shava between Oila, Chatas, and Asham interferes with the Gezeira Shava between Oila and Pesach, and the Gemara calls that Shnei Kesuvim Ein Melamdim. Now, the fact is that one can fit...
Did Pesach discover this Gezeira Shava?
Now, what's interesting is that when I read you the Rashi, you know, I said, the Rashi says, Eimelam, afilu b'gzeira shava, oisei dova shenichtav b'shneye. One could actually fit this into the Rashi too. And Baruch Hashem, batzasa lichaver, in the Asefa Skenim, al Seder Kotchim, which was of course put together by the Chafetz Chaim, Zekatzang Levrocha, the Chayk Nason, who I think is the Shulta Giborim, the Chayk Nason, and actually Rav Wandsburg, in the Dorm, actually says Ayin Chayk Nason. As Chayk Nason later going to argue on the Ran, but the Chayk Nason says this Pshat in Rashi. The Chayk Nason says that if I have, let's say, Shnei Kesuvim, two Psukim that tell me a certain din, okay, the question is, can I learn something from these two Kesuvim if I'm a Gzeira Shava? Example, I have A and B that tell me din X. Now, the question is, can I say that C is din X? So the Chayk Nason says, is that really you can? In other words, if A and B, like this, if A and B have a Gzeira Shava between them, can I not make a Gzeira Shava from either A or B to C? But, for example, says the Chayk Nason, and he brings Chayas, isn't there, from other places in Shas. But for example, if I could learn, let's say, B from A through a Kal V'Chomer, or I could learn, let's say, B from A through a Binyanah. In other words, if I have any other than Midas connected between A and B, I could learn a Gzeira Shava. And he brings a Chayas from a Tosfos and Lamed Daled and Kiddushin. But I want to... You can believe him. But I'm saying I want to focus on this thing like this. In other words, I have two things. Two Kesuvim that tell me the same din. A tells me din X. B tells me din X. So the Yudgim is telling me that since I have two verses telling me the same din, so I can't learn that X applies in C. That's a cloud. Now, what if A and B are related through a meter? For example, I could learn B from A through a Kal V'Chomer or through a Binyanav. And certainly they're not related through a Midah. And I have a Gzeira Shava between, let's say, A and C, or between B and C. So then I could apply the Gzeira Shava. But I could apply the other ones, I could say that since A and B are only related to a Binyanav, so what I could do is, I could use the Gzeira Shava between B and C to learn the din X in C, and I don't say Shnei Kesuvim Bom Ke'echad Ein Melamdim, because the Gzeira Shava is stronger than that Midah. But if I have, and this is what clearly the Tosfos is saying in Pesachim, and clearly what the Chayk Nason is learns, if I have a Gzeira Shava between A and B, right? If I have a Gzeira Shava A and B, then I can't learn a Gzeira Shava between B and C. And I'll say, in other words, if I have A and B that are connected with the Gzeira Shava, like in the case over here, we have Chatas and Oila are connected with the Gzeira Shava itself. And now the Gemara didn't say that. The Tosfos, like you said, the Tosfos made it up. But Tosfos also always makes up Midas. That even in Samach Alam Aleph, the Tosfos makes up a klal of Prat klal that doesn't exist in the Gemara. There's some klal of Prat klal. The Tosfos says, how come there's no? We say there's no. Din of Kalkan by Ribbis. This is a Klal Chata plot that's appearing in the Kabbalah. But that's okay. Tosfos can make up a Midah because they claim it's in Shas. But.
What does that mean, they claim it's in Shas?
When I think Tosfos makes up Midah means if the Shas says something, Tosfos can claim the Shas learning it to a Midah, Klal Chata Klal. They won't make up a new Halacha, but they'll. But in other words, what Tosfos is saying is that if I have A and B, and A and B are linked by a Gzeira Shava, that I can't make the Gzeira Shava to C. And on that I'll stay. Shnei Kesuvim by Mkechat Eim Alamda, or Shlosha. Here I have to have a Gezer Shabbat actually between three of them, between the Chatzah and the Rosha. That's what the Chod Nason says. Okay?
Now, that's code for saying they're a Gezer Shabbat. Shnei Kesuvim by Mkechat, they are a Gezer Shabbat, which cannot be.
That's what the Gemara says. Well, the Gemara says, Shnei Kesuvim by Mkechat.
What it means.
No, that's not what it generally means.
No.
Because usually the two Pesukim are not related to a Midah. But what the Chod Nason is saying is an incredible thing. The Chod Nason is saying is that if the A and B are related to a Midah, I could learn a Gezeirah Shavah. From either A or B to C. But if they're related to a Gezeirah Shavah, I can't learn a Midah from A and B to C. That's what the Chod Nason is saying. Now, I would like to explore this then. Why is this? It's very interesting. Because this seems to sort of like, I think this sugya sheds an incredible light as what, how are the Midas related? Now, I would say the following thing. First of all, we have an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says in Samach Aleph, we saw in Melech Mitzvah. Now, first of all, we have this Gemara. Let's go back to Kiddusha. The Gemara says something that can be learned from a Gezeirah Shavah, Tov HaKos of Lakor. Okay, let's think empirically, ashkafically, simple. Something which I could learn through a Kal V'Chaymer, why would the Pasuk write it? So it must be, you could say two answers. One answer you could say is that the Torah will write it, but at the end I'll find something to learn from the Pasuk that I couldn't learn from the Kal V'Chaymer. I think there, in Kiddushin, the Gemara makes an attempt to learn what's Socher, what's whatever it is. But you could say even something, even I think, broader. If I have a midah from which I can derive a din, and then I have a pasuk, the pasuk sort of says becomes miyuta, becomes extra. In other words, I can dash in the pasuk for something else. In other words, once I have a midah, chalameli. So even though there's nothing intrinsically extra in the pasuk, since I have a midah that can produce the same thing in the pasuk, it must be that the entire pasuk transcends is extra. Okay? Now, I would claim, based upon the Gemara Mabatsi that we've seen, we'll see how it works in a little while, that then applies to, let's say, for example, a midah which has a rational component. For example, a Kal V'Chaymer. In other words, I have a Kal V'Chaymer, which is an empirical law, has an empirical logic to it. So I could say Torah v'Kos of Lakor, because the Torah basically is writing a pasuk on the basis of which I can see the pasuk sense as being extra. Because if I have a Svara, why do I need a pasuk? The pasuk has to be used for something else. In particular, I could use the pasuk for Gezeirah Shavah. Because we know that Gezeirah Shavah, I mean, there's a machlekas, and we spoke about this last time, but the Gezeirah Shavah requires, at least for the most part, some word which is extra on one side. Mufna, either mitzad echad, they started. So in other words, if I have a binyanav, so here the two pasukim, in other words, I have A and B. I could derive B from A using a binyanav or using a Gezeirah Shavah. So it must be that B is like a little bit extra. So since B is a little bit extra, I can make a Gezeirah Shavah between B and C. Everybody with me? In other words, I have two ksuvim, A and B. And generally we say on a logical principle, I can't derive C from A and B because it's Shnei Ksuvim Baim Ke'echad. But since I have a logical midah, which tells me I don't really need B, because I have a binyanav or a Kal V'Chaymer to write B from A, so B becomes a little bit extra, miyusa, extra, miyutau, and because of that, I can now apply Gezeirah Shavah to derive something about C. So for example, use our case over here. I have Chatas and Oila, And let's believe, make believe, chas v'shalom, that there was no word sovereign that appeared both by chatas and oila. But I had some gzera shav, I had some type of binyan av, or kal v'chayma, in which I can derive oila or chatas from oila. So chat on this din, so chatas becomes like a little bit extra, I don't really chatas, I can learn from oila. So, because of that, I can learn a gzera shav from, let's say, chatas to say. That makes clear. In other words, so that would be, you know, that would be the beer here in the Taisvas, the way the Chodnosan is learning the Rashito. In other words, that the Mida makes the din in the Pasuk extra, and that extraness of the Pasuk allows me for Gzeh Hashem. Okay? Because, right? Now, but what if the two things are linked through a Gzeh Shava? In other words, why do I say if B can be derived from A through a Kal V'Chayma or through a Binyan Av, I see B as extra because it's a Svara, so I can derive the Svara and therefore it's a bit extra. I can learn the Gzeh Shava from B to C. But what if A and B are related through a Gzeh Shava? I can't say, it's obviously, I can't say B is extra. Because the Tosfos said, the Samach Alpha, have a Gzeh Shava, you can't say there's anything extra. And what Tosfos says, by definition, Samach Alpha and Aleph, the ones that have a Gzeh Shava that tells me something, and the Pasuk is there, there can't be anything extra in the Pasuk. In other words, this din of Svala, Lamed Lekha, doesn't apply to a Gzeh Shava. Gzeh Shava is not a Svala. So in other words, if I have a Gzeh Shava between A and B, I hope you're following. If I have a Gzeh Shava, it's very simple. I have a Gzeh Shava between A and B. But the presence of the Gzeh Shava doesn't tell me that A or B are extra. Like Taisha says, but it says, along with that, I forget. The Torah tells me it's not extra. So since it's not extra, I can't make a Gzeh Shava between either A and B and C. Maybe I can make a logical argument. Shnei kesuvim, ein malachdim. Everybody with me? So in other words, we see here an incredible thing. That the presence of a gzeh shava between two things, and that if I have a gzeh shava which I can learn them, and the din is, then let's learn, plus it anyway, the pasuk is totally not extra. Okay, so now, we see from this, what do we see from this? That Gzeh Shava is completely different from the other Midas. The other Midas have a logical component to them. And therefore, I have this dichotomy or duality between mind, text, Svara, Kha. So, that's good. Tach the cost of Lakha. Why the Torah write it despite it? Because eventually, I could use the pasuk, maybe for example, Shem or some other limut. There is a chiddush in the pasuk, but in a Gzeh Shava, I don't say that. A Gzeh Shava has no logical component. Like Rashi says, it's like it's mamish written. So in the same, in other words, since it's mamish written. So, if I can derive something from Gzeh Shava, and the Torah nonetheless writes it, then that pasuk cannot talk like Tosfos says. It can't be any. The Torah is called irreducible. Irreducible. It's not up for drasha. It's lost its identity for a drasha. So because of this, I can't possibly use this word and learn it then to something else from a Gzeh Shava. That, I think, is the biur in the Taisvis and the Chodnasa. Now.
So does it mean we never find laws being learned like transitively through consecutive?
No, there are laws. In Kachim, if we say Elam and Elam, it's a different issue. But I'm saying this, but a Gzeh Shava, we don't know. In other words, in this transitive law, we're saying we're distinguishing between all the other meanings between a Gzeh Shava. In other words, what I wanted to get at over here is that the Gzeh Shava If I have a Gezeira Shava, and nonetheless the Torah writes it, so the Pasuk is totally irreducible. In other words, I can't look at the Pasuk, I can't use the Pasuk to turn on the Gezeira Shava. Or like Taisman says, there's nothing extra in the Pasuk. Which means that, in other words, what makes the Pasuk extra if it could somehow be derived through Svara? We see that the Gezeira Shava negates all Svara. Which means, really, what is a Gezeira Shava? A Gezeira Shava creates a whole new text. That's what Gezeira Shava does. What Rashi says, it's as if the Gezeira Shava is written in the Torah, it means the Gezeira Shava is not at all a logical principle. It's a text. And the Torah says, the same, if the Torah ends up writing it, so we have to say that, according to Taisfas, I mean, this is all Shitas Taisfas, Taisfas Shitas, and it's something Al Marala, we'd have to say that, you wouldn't say, if you say, Tov V'Katz V'Kor, you'd have to just say then what, is that the Torah is saying something which is irreducible, and we can never use any form of exegesis. That's what we're saying. Which means, what I want to get out is the following thing, which I think is important, is that the Gzeira Shava, operationally, is a text compared to the other mitzvahs. In other words, if I have A and B, and B can be learned from A through one of the mitzvahs, let's say, not Gzeira Shava, so the Gzeira Shava itself will, on the basis of the logical principle, will establish itself and look at the positive as being extra. But if some of the Gzeira Shava knows that the din is learned through a Gzeira Shava, it won't. It can't be applied. Now, from this we get an interesting thing. Because you could ask the question we spoke about in the previous class, the previous shiurim, that in other words, did you the hekesh the Gzeira Shava? Now, it's clear, I mean, I think that the Gzeira Shava has been an exception. It's clear to me that, for example, if there was a hekesh between A and B, which is really a certain type of a vidyanav, then you could apply a Gzeira Shava. Which means that what I'm saying is that we see that this principle of, in other words, logic versus text, and the realm of logic between two things, in other words, this is actually a principle which the Gemara uses in different sugyas. This notion. Now, I want to go just one step further, and then I want to come to really the main part of what I want to speak about. The Gemara says, if I can learn B from A, so it's mashma the Gemara, I still say, Shnei Kesuvim Abam Ke'echad, Ein Melamdin. That's what's mashma the Gemara. In other words, no, what's mashma the Gemara, like that, what's mashma the Chodnasan is, if I have two Pesukim, B and A, right, I'll still say, Shnei Kesuvim Abam Ke'echad, Ein Melamdin, unless it's a Gzeira Shava. Okay? But if I have, if they are connected to the Gzeira Shava, I won't say it. Which means, what does this mean? What it means is that Shnei Kesuvim Abam Ke'echad, in other words, it doesn't only mean, you know, the Torah says two dinim, so it must be the Torah meant Badafka only this place on the places too. In other words, even if I had two dinim, one of which can be derived through a logical principle, I'll still say the same thing too. Which means that Shnei Kesuvim Abam Ke'echad also has a logical dimension. In other words, even if the second din I can derive from a principle for the first din, right? Nonetheless, I'll treat it as Shnei Kesuvim Abam Ke'echad. I can learn from it. Which means the following thing. It means that the logical principle creates a text. Because the Shnei Kesuvim Abam Ke'echad, I can say Ein Melamdin, right? Whether the two are independent or the two are logically connected. In other words, if I have two things not logically connected, so I have a smala. Well, why does the Torah say two things? It must be the Torah meant the dafka needs to lead all the places. But you see, if I have a logical principle connected me with A and B, you can't say the smala. You can't say the smala. Well, the Torah said two things in two places. It's not true. The Torah said only thing in one place. I can derive with logic into another place. I mean, what was the Torah doing? If God said two things, I can say, well, he said two things. Say one thing, I should derive it. Say two things, only in these cases. But here, God didn't say exactly one thing. He said really one thing. And even though he said it in two places, I could have used my cycle, my intellect, to derive it in the other place too. So what did God say? Did he say two things in one thing? So, the conclusion is, we treat it as snake suvim. We say that God said two things, which means that what? That even though I could derive B through a kavachoyma and a big enough, it's called snake suvim, which means God said two things. What do you mean God said two things? It means that something derived from a kavachoyma or big enough is called something that God said. Now, he didn't say it so loud. Because he didn't say it like he said if two things are the right through Gzera Shava. So maybe like he said it and, you know, maybe he spoke loud, spoke soft. But what I'm saying is, it's called a text. But there's a hierarchy of texts. There's a text of Binyanav, a text of Kama Chayma, which is a text, which means it's a text for certain midas, but not for other midas. And then there's a strong text, which is called the Gezeira Shava text. That's irreducible. So, what's interesting is that the midas all create a hierarchy of texts. And depending upon the strength of the midah, whether it's a logical principle, what like a Inanav, or Gzera Shava, or whether it's a Gzera Shava, that will determine what type of text is created. And this will have important implications in Chazal themselves. That's what I want, that's the main point. In other words, we see very clearly over here, the notion that Gzera Shava is like it's mamash written in the Torah. Now, I wondered a little bit, just to, we mentioned too last time, is that, you know, we had this problem with the, you know, the Ran claimed that the Gemara in the Dorim was, the Gemara Bava Metzia was claiming that even a Gzera Shava, Tova Kasav Lakha, but the Maisa, I mean, the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, why do I need the, you know, why do I need the Gzera Shava? Right, the Gemara says, the Gemara said in Bava Metzia, you know, if I, you know, what are the Gzera Shava for? Like the Pasuk. But Tosfos has another question. I mean, if I had the Gzera Shava, so what is the Pasuk? So Tosfos says the Pasuk is nothing extra. That's what Tosfos says. Meaning that in no case of Tov Kozel Lekron, Tosfos would learn that there is something extra in the Pasuk. But it's very interesting, why should the Gemara say that in fact, you know, if I have the Pasuk, why do I need the Gzera Shava? And Taisvah says, well, now that, you know, so what about the Pasuk though? You have to consider the Pasuk. So it seems like this. In other words, Taisvah understood that the Gzera Shava is like something mamash written, it's not a logical principle. So it's mamash written, so what are the Pasuk? The answer is no, because the Pasuk is called irreducible. There's certain Pasukim that you can't use the Pasukim in any way to derive any other principle from them. There's something called mamash pshuta shav mikra, that there's no connection with the Torah Shabbat. Right? In other words, there's nothing extra, which means is that if you look at that Gemara in Samach Aleph, what is Ravina learning? He's learning from actually the real Pashuk, the Pashuk, the Pasuk. In other words, Ravina in Bava Metzia in Samach Aleph is not using, I mean, according to Tosfos, is not using any logical step in learning a thing from a Pasuk. Now, he certainly, the Pasuk actually explicitly said that. What he did was he took two words and put them together. The limit is he took two words and placed them next to each other. So what was Ravina doing? He had words in a pasuk, and what he did was, he just knows that two words are adjacent. The drasha had no connection with meaning. It was purely the adjacentness of two letters. In other words, Ravina was not taking the pasuk and translating it to concepts and deriving a halacha. He was looking at the black and white on the cloth and noticed that what? Two words are adjacent. And on the base of that, what did he do? He learned the pshat. Which means, Ravina was learning a pshat that has absolutely nothing to do with the logical structure of the pasuk. It purely has to do with the fact that words are adjacent. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because there's an interesting Tosfos in Lamed Aleph and Sukkah. Tosfos wants to claim that a hekesh, you don't need a rebbe, you can derive a hekesh by yourself. They argue on Rashi. There's something I'm keeping eager there. Right? And Tosfos says, if smuchim, you can use misvara. So hekesh too, you can use misvara. But really, what's the hekesh of Tosfos? The hekesh of Tosfos there has nothing to do with the logical hekesh. I claim when Tosfos uses hekesh there, just think about the fact that the abominim appear one after another in one pasuk, right? Priets other, right? Kapis tamarim. In other words, if I just look at the letters, the black letters on the white cloth, and they're next to each other, there's no principle. The letters next to each other, in itself, is a quality. And then I can do it myself. I don't need them. It's a pure observation of black and white and how letters are written on the cloth. So, in other words, when Tosfos says a pasuk is reducible, what is reducible, irreducible? What Tosfos means is no condition of the pasuk. All there is the black and white, and I read the words. That's what Tosfos means. And right? And Ravina, when he came up with the drasha, just noticed that two words read next to each other. That observation has nothing to do with any logical understanding of the terms or of the meaning of the verse. It's an observation how the thing is written. So therefore, even if there's a gezeirah shavah, that remains. So we see that there's something called ground level text in Chazal. And what's ground level text in Chazal? The actual letters appearing on the cloth is a little like the Torah codes. The Torah codes basically take letters next to each other. Has nothing to do with what the Torah is saying. And they take a computer and discover all types of silly things which have nothing to do with anything in Judaism. And, you know, after that, you know, people use it, wow, Kiruv, this or that. But, you know, but I'm saying is, like, reveal them like a Torah code. The Torah codes work because we're not bucking Chassidus for Yisavas. I don't see why the Torah codes work because how do you not count the letter? It works. You see,
this is a raya that we have to get the right one.
Or maybe it's raya that basically you could teach any stupid, you could make any silly thing, you know, and get people to believe you. I don't know what that, but in other words, I say don't confuse this with the Torah codes. The Torah codes, you know, claim that throughout the entire text there's things, but I'm sure this place there was with Chassidus Yisavas. I don't see how the Torah codes could possibly, you know, claim anything about true. I mean, we have a suffix. I mean, the Shekhazai is going to make a bracha. We don't make a bracha. There's a mitzvah like that. But in other words, to come along, I think the Torah calls for stiyot ha-chazal. Mashenken, here, we're connecting words that are next to each other, and it's obviously a place where there's no chazal, as you say, no possibility. So therefore, we can take letters and put them next to each other. Okay, fine. Okay. What have I said? The bottom line. The bottom line is, right, I wanted to prove, just use the results that we spoke about the last series Shu'urim, that in fact, the middos create a text. But there's different types of texts. There's a text created by a binyanah, there's a text created by a kavul chomer, there's a text created by a gezeirah shavah. And there's a hierarchy a spectrum of texts. There's strong texts and there's weak texts. The Kavah Chaimah is a weak text. The Binyan Av is a weak text. A Gezeirah Shavah is a strong text. So, in Binyan Av and Kavah Chaimah, it's a weak text. So the weak text can exist along the Chumash, which is a strong text. Therefore, the Chumash can be extra. And a Gezeirah Shavah, which is a strong text. So what do you have left in the Chumash? You have the black and white of the letters. That's the text of the Chumash. Okay? It might be interesting that the Gemara of Yerushalmi says that first the Torah was given with white letters on black smoke, and then black letters on white smoke. So, I'm sure that, you know, the Darshanim have different ways of understanding that. But, in other words, sometimes I thought that, in fact, actually, in other words, the black letters on the white smoke is the Torah Shavuot Chassab that we see. And then we have the Midas. That's the way, because we operate like that. But we spoke about last week that actually Chazal operate the other way. In other words, we see you have a Kavah Chaimah until the Torah. So what do the Midas look before the text? In other words, we have the Midas after the text. If you say that the Torah writes things, Torah because of Lakra, what does the Midas look before that? So maybe the Midas looks before that, white letters on black smoke. That could possibly be the Pshat and Chazal. Okay, now, what I want to do is I want to begin the next issue, which I think we're going to have to seriously consider is that I've been claiming all along that, in fact, actually, in other words, we spoke about Hillel dashing the seven mitzvahs, the seven mitzvahs. In the case of Kavah Chaimah, where you need a Mesaira, so the fact is that he spoke about what was the Maseirah. The Maseirah was the Hekesh. And comes the Gezeirah Shavah, right, and replaces the Hekesh. And that was Hillel's Chivulus, his novel thing. So now, one could say, what are we talking about? First of all, I mean, there are plenty of Gemaras, Design of Aleph and Tamura, where Chazal, actually someone raised a question about this last week, Chazal speaking about Gezeirah Shavah from Moshe Rabbeinu. There's an entire Gemara in Tamura that says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter, there were thousands of Gezeirah Shavahs, Kavah Chaimahs, all these were forgotten. So really, I want to speak about two questions. In other words, first of all, according to what I'm saying, this Gemara should obviously be a contradiction. I mean, what we speak about Gezeirah Shavah is this is way before Hillel. And if you want to learn the, and go the opposite way. So what did Hillel do? What was he doing? Shavah Midas. That's number one. But number two, the interesting question is, Gezeirah Shavah I understand. It's textual. You forget things. A Kavah Chaimah is logic. People stop thinking. In other words, everybody agrees a Kavah Chaimah can be derished by yourself. What is it to forget? Bishlam Gezeirah Shavah, you forget. Okay. It's a text, it's a puzzle. You know. But a Kavah Chaimah. How do you forget a Kavah Chaimah? A Kavah Chaimah is a logical thing. One can always derive it. On the contrary, the Gemara says, Asnil ben Kanaz, they forgot it. And Asnil Kanaz rederived it through Pilpul. What through Pilpul? What can be more? I mean, how few people are you going to derive a Kavah Chaimah? Kavah Chaimah itself is a logical thing. What type of people is Gemara speaking about? Okay? In addition to that, the Gemara says in the Daf before that, that before Moshe Rabbeinu, they learned differently after Moshe Rabbeinu. Before Moshe Rabbeinu, for a certain time, in Jewish history, they learned like Moshe Rabbeinu. They had to learn differently. The Gemara says, you're down with base. The question is, if they learned differently, so why are you calling it Gezeirah Shavah Kavah Chaimah? They learned obviously the same. So clearly, we're left with a very, very difficult question is, how do we understand this in the perspective of history?
Where's this going to?
Tezayinim and Aleph. And the Gemara, or I think Yudal and Beis, or Tezvavim and Beis, the Gemara speaks about there. I don't have the going through in front of me. Maybe they bring, oh yeah, fine, very good. I thought I'd forgotten it. Let me just say before the camera stops, there's a race against the camera. Right. The Gemara says, this whole Gemara appears in to Zayinim and Aleph in Tamura. And the other Gemara appears and says Vavim and Beis in Kabura. The Gemara explains how they used to learn by Moshe Rabbeinu before afterwards. The question is, let's go back again. What happened? Where did all this come from? Okay? Yemir Tashem, that will be the discussion for next week, until next week, for an unsolicited positive Shamir HaKadosh, called Tuvah.